It's the Pirates Week for Sunday, January 20th, 2008.
This is the Pirates Week.
PFCC shows what we hear and see on radio and on TV. FCC, FU.
Shoot some more fire to your treetop wire.
But why can't I do pirate radio again? I mean, why can't I just turn on transmitters when I want?
Won't you just move my wiener? Cause you really don't feel right cold.
Join us on the airwaves.
You're pirates. You're all a bunch of pirates.
Surf the skies and find new friends.
We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard.
Well, I am Ragnar Dannisjold, and this is the Pirates Week. Hey, we got a pretty good show for you this week. Got a whole bunch of material for you to listen to. We do have a bust over in England of a pirate radio station. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to go through some relevant forum postings on the internet, including the Free Radio Network, and note stations logged per the Free Radio Weekly. Hey, I got a bunch of off-air recordings for you this week, the propagation forecast, and a few radio news stories. Not necessarily pirate-centric, but interesting nonetheless. And one that's going to be really informative on dipole antenna construction from This Week in Amateur Radio. Hey, and then a few closing thoughts from me, so let's get right into it. Got a good show for you this week. Stay tuned.
Almost live from the Fooking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Dannisjold.
Well, hey, this is the Pirates Week, and like I said in the beginning there, we got a bunch of good stuff for you, so I'm not going to waste your time, and actually, I'm not feeling all that well this week, so I'm going to keep the chatter down to the bare minimum and get right into Pirates in the News.
Pirates in the News.
Well, we got one news story for you this week, and this is from England, the UK, the Birmingham Post, and actually it's all over the internet. Pirate radio broadcaster fined 300 pounds. One of the men behind the infamous Birmingham pirate radio station has been fined by Birmingham magistrates. Ernest Uriah Griffiths was convicted to two charges of unauthorized broadcasting and sentenced to pay £300 and £200 court costs. Mr. Griffiths was involved with the broadcast pirate radio station Hot 92 FM from Hockley in Birmingham. According to research by Ofcom, there are currently around 150 pirate radio stations operating in the UK at any one time, with most stations broadcasting out of London and Birmingham. According to research by Ofcom, 16% of adults admit listening to illegal broadcasts because these stations offer access to local urban music scene, developing grassroots talent, and represents the minority ethnic groups. And that is from the news story in the Birmingham Post. Actually, I started looking around on the internet for Hot 92 FM over in Birmingham, UK, and actually found, take a listen to this. This is off their MySpace page. This is a couple of IDs from Hot 92 FM.
Come on, terrible of the future. Hot 92, big up yourself when I laugh, when I linger, when I play. Let you lead the way. I could have been one of the most notorious. Come on, terrible of the future.
Yeah, what's the deal, y'all? This is Missy Elliott.
What's up, y'all? This is City High.
What's up? It's me, Beverly Knight.
What up? This Corrupt.
What's up? This is Mag Sabrice.
And we're 3LW.
Yeah. Monster Boy.
Hi, we're Mystique.
This is Music
soul child.
Come give me the fire, me burn them and done them.
92.0, personally recommended by yours truly, Mighty Mo. Mighty Mo.
The Twin of Twins, representing for Hot 92, and we are going to be joining Mr. Bob.
This should be played at high volume.
Yeah, it's Tyler G.
Aye.
Don't get it twisted, my youth. You're listening to Hot 92 FM. You get me?
Well, that was the IDs from the Hot 92 FM MySpace page. Hey, I got one other news story for you this week, and this is going to come from the International Radio Report. And it's really not a pirate as much as a pirate radio supplier that has been visited by the FCC, or at least FCC has taken action against Hobbytron for, I'll let Steve and Janice from the International Radio Report explain it a little better.
Okay, so here's another quick article sent by Sheldon Harvey about Hobbytron owners' order to provide info on transmitter exports. The FCC has issued a citation to Absolute Toy Marketing, owner of Hobbytron, for apparently marketing unauthorized FM transmitters and ignoring the Enforcement Bureau's request for information. The commission ordered Hobbytron to provide the information and states that failing to do so could result in $11,000 per fine per violation or per day. The commission gave the company 20 days to respond. The affected transmitters advertised on the Hobbytron.com website include the RFM30B-WT, the RFM100B-WT, and the UX150 manufactured by Ramsey Electronics in the USA and Canada Kit in Canada. According to the agency, the commission said it used a notice of apparent liability for forfeiture against the previous owner of Hobbytron, Gibson Tech Ed, for violating the same marketing rules. In its November response, Hobbytron argued that some kits sold on its site have been assembled for export, and the company believes it is allowed to market those because customers are required to fill out a form stating they will export the FM transmitter. It's not okay, according to the commission, to market non-FCC authorized transmitters in the United States. Several questions related to the investigations have gone unanswered, the agency stated, and it ordered Hobbytron to provide the information. So basically, they're creating FM transmitters. These are stuff used by pirate radio operators on FM. And if they fill out a form stating, promising that it's exported to outside of the USA, they can send it to them legally. So it's a bit of a loophole in the laws, because I guess, you know, Hobbytron has no way of verifying if the people actually do it. So basically, it puts the onus on the, you know, the purchaser of the transmitter to export it. So I don't know why the FCC doesn't go after the purchasers and why they're going after Hobbytron. But anyway, we know what's happening. They're buying FM transmitters to run pirate radio stations, so the FCC is going after the manufacturers of the transmitters. So
yeah.
We know what that's about.
Oh, yeah.
Breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law.
The FRN Forum postings.
Well, it's time now to take a look around the interwebs for some pirate-related postings, and starting off like we always do with the Free Radio Network, www.frn.net/vines. Hey, Chris Solminski starts us off this week by alerting everyone about a HF test from HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. They're running tests on their 3.6 million watt transmitter. Just let that sink in for a bit. They're bouncing signals off the moon, and I was able to actually record some of the material Friday night. You can definitely hear the strong tone sending and then the weaker tone echoing off the moon's surface. Hey, take a real quick listen to this test. Very cool. They repeated the test Saturday night, but the audio I got was very, very odd on Saturday night. If you happen to be listening at 2 a.m. Eastern, and actually I had the recorder on and listened to it in the morning, but some very interesting things that were played on Saturday night. Well, continuing on with the FRN, Commander Bunny posts that his t-shirt and bumper stickers on eBay are 25% off. There's only a few left, and the seller wants to clear them out. So for the next 24 hours, you can buy the world-famous, much-desired collector's item, Commander Bunny for President t-shirt, 25% off the regular price. Over in the workshop forum, we've had several postings this last week. L. Phantom raves about his new auxiliary input selector. He purchased a Niles AXP-1 from J&R Music World. It takes up to 5 stereo RCA inputs and can manually switch between each of them to 1 stereo RCA output. He hooked his Sennheiser HDR-140 wireless headphones to the output and his TV, DVD player, IC-746 rig, and PC audio and FM CD audio. Man, you got a lot of inputs there, Al. Now he can switch between any of these inputs into the headphones, wander around the house listening without bothering the neighbors. Says it works great. Hey, that's really cool, Al. Nothing like having multiple inputs for your ears. Continuing on, Zane Radio revives an old post from Bender concerning common mode noise RFI. Zane posts another link to an article discussing RFI grounding in audio applications. It's a PDF document and it's very informative. Take a look over at that. That's pretty cool, Zane. Thanks. Doctor Who posts asking if rain or ice was heavy on an antenna, causing a normal SWR of 0.5 or 1 and raising it to 3, would that just cause high SWR or does that affect the output signal reaching into the airwaves? Actually, yeah, I had to read that twice. Sounds like Doctor Who has an ice buildup on his antenna and it's taking his normal SWR of 0.5 or 1 and raising it up to 3, and he's wondering how that's affecting his output signal. And over in LPFM, Superhet describes his FM station setup. Nothing 40 stresses height, height, height. Yes, talking about antenna height, saying, remember you guys, VHF is line of sight and it's not quite the same as HF. The higher you can get your antenna, the more area you're going to cover. Hey, Radio Brandy also posted on this topic too, and I don't think I've mentioned much on Radio Brandy. Just a shout out to over there to the guys and gals at Radio Brandy. Very cool concept, very cool site, helping some disadvantaged youth, some disadvantaged female youth, and getting them into radio. Very cool concept, and I support what you guys are doing over there at Radio Brandy. Hey, kudos to you guys. And from the Free Radio Weekly, number 623, covering logs from the 12th through the 18th of January, 2008. Stations being heard include the pirate radio stations of Grass Cover Radio, KPRX, MAC Shortwave, Radio Jamba International, Sunshine Radio, Voice of the Bat. I think that's a new one. Voice of the Bat. Voice of William Shatner, WBNY Radio Bunny. And QSLs being reported being received this last week include the stations of Bipolar Radio, LC International, and William K. Hertz both report getting QSLs from Bipolar Radio.
You know the weird guy in the corner of the office who always has his headphones on? That's you!
Well, with that, it's time now to take a listen to some off-air recordings. Hey, let's turn on the radio really quick and see if anybody's on air as we speak. Nope. They were on a little bit earlier this morning. Hey, like I said, let's get into some off-air recordings. I got several for you, and some are short and some are long. Let's start off with a short one. Voice of William Shatner, 6925 Upper Sideband, the 14th of January, 0800, SIO232 and S3. Not a strong signal, but an interesting station nonetheless with the Star Trek theme intro. Voice of William Shatner ID, and then into William Shatner, let's call it singing. He was doing a bunch of songs. Rocket Man was one of them. Hey, also you can check out on this recording. It's unintentional, but is interesting nonetheless. You can hear my monitor in the broadcast to get a little bit of feedback. Whenever I get a white screen, you know, if I bring up a text document, you can hear the hum of the different pages as I pull them up on my monitor, and you can hear me expand and then minimize the windows on my computer. It's in the background of this, and it's just kind of interesting. Let's listen to Voice of William Shatner. The next one is KPRX, 6925 AM, the 17th of January, 2305 SIO 433, playing a bunch of instrumental music with This Is a Test, Can You Hear Me Now? By a male op, kprx@gmail.com at close, and this is about a one-minute recording right at the sign-off, KPRX.
KPRX Radio at gmail.com. KPRX Radio at gmail.com. KPRX Radio at gmail.com.
Next up, a perennial favorite of mine, Ann Hoffer Radio, 6925 AM, the 19th of January, 1950 to 2015, SIO 434, kind of faded off towards the very, very end of the program. She's playing her live guitar, as she always does. She says she's live. She played Paris Island, White Rabbit, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Harvest Moon, a whole bunch of tunes. Signal started to fade around 2010, right before she signed off. This is a very long, well, long for me, about a three-minute recording. But hey, you know, we love you, Ann. Take a listen to Ann Hoffer Radio.
Thinking rabbit, and you think they're going to fall. I've given you the call, call, Alice, when she can be tall. Whistling on the tip board, get up on the top, where to go. And you just had
trying to figure out what songs to sing for you pirates. FRN. Would be appreciated as usual. Okay, let's see what we got here. Mm-hmm.
And lastly, WBNY. Hey, you can't have pirate radio with Radio Bunny. 6925 Upper Sideband this morning, the 20th of January, 1428 to 1433, SIO, a blazing 444, playing well, it was a very, very odd broadcast, even for WBNY, playing some Monkey Boy just repeated over and over with some background sound clips and odd music. This is about a 3-minute clip out of about a 5-minute show. Take a listen to this.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
Well, it's time now for the propagation forecast, coming like it always does from This Week in Amateur Radio.
Taking a look at this week's propagation forecast, we've seen another 7 days with no sunspots. After observing the first sunspot of cycle 24, we hope to see more and more of these, signaling the beginning of the next sunspot cycle and the end of cycle 23. Dick Gerd, K6PZE of San Diego, California, wrote in asking how to distinguish cycle 24 sunspots from cycle 23 sunspots. Well, there are two features that differentiate spots from each cycle. Old cycle 23 spots will appear near the sun's equator. The first spots of cycle 24, however, will appear at higher solar latitude and will have magnetic polarity opposite of the old spots. Last week, there was a brief appearance on January 11th by an almost sunspot, which disappeared by the following day. It appeared to be a cycle 24 spot, which had polarity reversed from Cycle 23 spots, but it was near the equator, which is the wrong place for a new cycle sunspot. So what do conditions look like over the next week? Well, expect quiet geomagnetic conditions through the end of this month, with the next geomagnetic disturbance centered on February 1st. We may see sunspots return January 28th through February 3rd. Geophysical Institute Prague predicts quiet to unsettled conditions January 18th and 19th, and quiet conditions January 20th through the 24th.
Well, I have a few other radio news stories. We also have an update on the upcoming Shortwave Listening Fest in Culpsville.
The 2008 Winter SWL Festival will be held on March 7th and 8th. In a hotel in Culpsville, Pennsylvania. This is the largest gathering of listeners to the radio spectrum in the United States and possibly the world. Some 200 attend each year. The gathering is sponsored by the North American Shortwave Association, and registration information is available at swlfest.com.
And lastly, from This Week in Amateur Radio also, the ARRL doctor answers a question about dipole performances with and without using end insulators. Actually, this is really good. Take a real close listen to this. You may even want to replay it once or twice. Got some really good information in here. This runs a couple minutes.
The ARRL's very own doctor is in the house to answer a question from his mailbag. This time out, the doctor answers a question from Wilbur Warkey, N9RGE. Of Lebanon, Illinois, who asks, what happens to a dipole or random wire antenna if end insulators are not used? Does it change the radiation pattern? What if the ends without insulators are left hanging down? Does that change the radiation from horizontal to vertical? Well, the doctor answers, the insulators themselves don't change antenna performance. The insulators are designed to provide high impedance pathways between the end of the antenna, usually a high voltage point, and the support structure. If the support is metal without an insulator, the current from the antenna will continue to the support structure and will become part of the antenna. The resulting performance will depend on the size and shape of the support and how solid a connection there is between the antenna and the support, but often it will be poor and likely intermittent, usually a recipe for a number of different problems. In the more typical case of a tree or other wooden structure, the impedance will be relatively high, and it shouldn't matter too much until it gets wet. Then you could easily have a very unpredictable situation and likely be sending much of your power into warming up the tree. Very dry tree branches also introduce the risk of fire, especially if high power is used. With respect to dangling ends, they don't need insulators if they will be staying dangling in space. Whatever is holding up the antenna just before the dangle suffers as above. Unfortunately, if the dangling ends aren't secured, they have a tendency to get blown around and can get wrapped around the antenna or nearby objects. If a random wire has both horizontal and vertical segments, each will radiate depending upon the magnitude of current in each segment. This generally changes from band to band. Sometimes this can be used to good advantage. In the case of a balanced half-wave dipole, if both ends are dangling the same amount, the vertical radiation will cancel in the direction of the main horizontal radiation lobe. There will be a small amount of vertical radiation because the ends have less current than the center in the direction of the dipole ends. Antenna insulators are not expensive, so why not use them just to be safe? If you don't have a local source, consider making your own from scrap PVC pipe or couplings. Just drill a hole in both sides at each end, deburr the holes, and use them as insulators. They're pretty close to free.
Well, that's about going to wrap up the show. I'm glad you joined us for this week here at the Pirates Week. You can always get a hold of me at piratesweek@gmail.com or stop on by the website www.piratesweek.info. Hey, and just a reminder, Monday is Martin Luther King Day here in the United States. Probably will be quite a bit of pirate activity. Actually, looking over at the chat room right now, someone's on with, well, some MLK speeches with some commentary. I've been doing the show, so I haven't been able to listen, but should have a whole bunch of pirate activity over the next 24 hours or so with the holiday here in the United States. As always, hey, I'm out here. Thanks for listening.
From the Boat Anchor Soft Glow,
to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web. We meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week. That's piratesweek.info.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.